I was kidnapped, abducted, falsely imprisoned, tortured, and threatened with further torture without charge, without trial. Even many soldiers had said to me afterwards, "Was a hell, if you weren't a terrorist when you came in here, by the time you leave, I'm sure you would be because of the way you've been treated."
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th, malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty.
People are always asking me, "Yo, Gemini, what's your angle? Are you a devil or an angel?" And I say both, as I continue to blame the Knights Templar and the Hospitallers, the real reason New York lost their towers. Don't sit back or hesitate to react to the impact. Many taking a nap. In fact, they would fake an attack to make way for the Patriot Act. Some say, hey, it ain't safe to say that, but it's the same game. Different name on the map as they place blame and they aim at Iraq. It's a damn shame because they never claimed the hijack. Following the fiddle, one would have found Nero, the town hero, responsible for ground zero. Objects in the mirror, close than they appear, so clear your ear to hear the sound of fear grow. Beware the eagle, the dragon, and the ego, and footage that they show that we are forced to see slow. Persecuted and disputed because of a we know the strengths that control these kings come from below. Observe the nerve of this dark heart government, thinking they can avoid a spark with another myth. Walk right up, take the Ark of the Covenant, the cards have been pulled by the shark, and I'm loving it. Look hard, and you will find seven heads of the beast behind 9/11, wrapped in fine linen. Even John Lennon couldn't imagine this modern day Armageddon. We've been ambushed, pushed to the edge, persecuted cause we disputed to know the ledge. Pledge allegiance, not even if the world stops turning. Never trust a bush unless it's burning. We've all been ambushed, pushed to the edge, persecuted cause we disputed to know the ledge. Pledge allegiance, not even if the world stops turning. Never trust a bush unless it's burning.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
From junior to senior to grandpa Prescott, to the Nazi mouse house in the center at Epcot. Let's not forget their messed up mascot, Skull and Bones, thinking up Geronimo's rest spot. These form thrones are not alone in their obsessed plot. These garden gnomes are part of Rome, so I take my best shot. With the heart of stones, they are prone to never get caught. Is there cold phone details and emails on your desktop? Many be growing up gaudy like Mayor Giuliani, practicing karate with the Illuminati. I Tonto Kimosabe, who's quick to kill somebody for the love of mud honey or a little blood money. I don't find these thugs funny, they sell drugs to Bugs Bunny. Not that it's any of my biz or that I'm his, a Daffy Duck's buddy. Just hide it when they laugh at me and what my dreadlocks study. When they kill tiny children, left many building blocks bloody. Wait, they're square and their compass and their almanac. Are you aware that they're amongst us and it's all an act? Some Yezza and Azazel have now come crawling back. Drove to Bohemian Grove dressed all in black, a serpent king worshipping a stone owl. The dragon Ronald Reagan named Colin Powell, flipping scripture like Vanna White, showing a vowel. We have to plan to fight and never throw in the towel. We've been ambushed, pushed to the edge, persecuted cause we disputed to know the ledge. Pledge allegiance, not even if the world stops turning. Never trust a bush unless it's burning. We've all been ambushed, pushed to the edge, persecuted cause we disputed to know the ledge. Pledge allegiance, not even if the world stops turning. Never trust a bush unless it's burning.
Remember this, your government funded and trained Al-Qaeda.
The Supreme Court's ruling that said that we must conduct ourselves under the common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. And that common Article 3 says that, you know, there will be no outrages upon human dignity.
Welcome to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. This is Monday Brown Bagger. You were just listening to a track done by a local hip-hop artist by the name of Gemini. My name is Reginald Angus Argue. I'll be archiving this on my website of www.angus-mcleod.com. McLeod spelled M-C-L-E-O-D. Again, this is the program of Monday Brown Bagger. Before I introduce our guest for today, I just wanted to briefly mention that so far with our past guest, we've had a chance to talk about Prescott Bush's ties to he's one of the seven directors of an American bank that was tied with financing the Nazis, which was seized in 1942 by the U.S. government, later returned after the war. We also talked about George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush's ties over to Skull and Bones, and we even briefly touched on George W. Bush's going AWOL when he was in the National Guard during the Vietnam era. Lastly, we talked about Bush Sr. Being the former head of the CIA back in the late 70s and how he gained his nickname of Poppy. With this said, our guest today, through his tremendous research and interviews with countless witnesses, has been able to expose hidden secrets about GW and Bush Sr., which many of us were unaware of ever happening. This gentleman has published his findings in a novel called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty. He's also the founder of the Who, What, Why, and the Real News Project, a news organization dedicated to producing groundbreaking, transformative, independent investigative journalism. With this said, I'd like to introduce Russ Baker.
Thank you very much. Just a clarification, the book is not a novel. It's a nonfiction, rather, and the full title is Family of Secrets. And the subtitle, on the paperback, which came out in November, is The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years.
And Russ, I do apologize for that. When you were basically doing the research for the book, you talked to over 500 people and interviewed over 500 people, read through countless thousands of pages of documents, which took 5 years for you to do. What was it that made you focus more on Bush Sr. than on GW?
Well, Reg, what happened was back in 2003, I was living for a little while in the former Yugoslavia, training journalists there on the importance of investigative reporting in creating a vibrant and dynamic democracy. At that time, we had the run-up to the war in Iraq. It was very, very clear that something peculiar and disturbing was happening in the United States. And people, as I traveled around Europe, asked me, what is happening in your country? And I realized I just didn't know. In fact, the more I thought about it, the more it dawned on me that even the mere fact that George W. Bush had been elected President of the United States and could become the most powerful person in the world was in itself something rather remarkable. And so I began just wondering if there was more to the story than we knew. And I began what ended up being 5 years of research and writing, having no idea at all what, if anything, I would find. As I studied George W. Bush, I became intrigued by all of these gaps I was finding in his past that had never been reported before, and he just became more and more fascinating to me. And as I looked at that, I began seeing the hand of his father, George H.W. Bush, particularly when it came to muddying up the fact that he had disappeared from 2 years of his required military service. And of course, this was a big deal because he was now sending American troops into harm's way in Iraq. And so I wondered, the father was a major official in the Republican Party. What role did he have in all that? And as I began looking at the father, I thought, even the father's rise to the presidency was not properly examined. So looking at the father, focusing on, as you pointed out, the fact that he'd been CIA director in 1976, I thought, how did he become CIA director? And this is where I really kind of, you might say, went down a rabbit's hole. As I looked at him and saw that all the newspapers had described him as a neophyte, somebody with no background in intelligence, I thought, doesn't make any sense. Why would you put this guy with no great credentials in there? And basically what I discovered through all of this research was that he had a background. He had a secret background, that in fact he'd been with CIA for years, and not just years, but for decades under very, very covert circumstances. And had been involved in some manner or another with a whole bunch of very important events in American and world history that had never before been examined. And that's really the crux of the first half of Family of Secrets.
And also there's an oil company that Bush Sr. founded called Zapata, tied in with the Thomas Devine, who used to be a former CIA, actually left CIA, then went back to CIA. With those two things that Bush Sr. was involved with, I think basically you pointed out all the way back to the 50s. With that in mind, were there any countries that Zapata was involved with that may have been possibly involved with overthrowing different freely elected governments?
Well, I think your readers on reading for themselves in Family of Secrets, and by the way, we have more than 1,000 footnotes in there, so it's very heavily documented, that you can see that Zapata didn't make any sense. It was a tiny company. They had several drilling rigs, but he was traveling all over the world in that period to places that had no oil, that they didn't seem to have any customers. It really appeared to be nothing more than cover for intelligence operations. As we go forward through the years, we see him in places like Greece, where there was a military regime backed by the United States, with the CIA station there particularly active. And of course, they were active from that Athens bureau. They were active all over southern Europe. They also had operations in Mexico and Latin America. They had a they put a rig right off of Cuba prior to the Bay of Pigs, and many of the people working there appear to have been Cuban exiles. So it seems to have been operational in those respects all over the place.
In 1953, the CIA was actually caught causing the revolution within Iran and replacing the freely elected government at that time. Do you think that Bush Sr. might have possibly had something to do with that at that time?
That I don't know, but I can tell you this, that an officer, a CIA officer named Kermit Roosevelt, who was one of the key actors in that coup, later was on the board of a major oil company that then contracted with Zapata to put that rig to run the rig supposedly for them right off of Cuba. So you see this continuity, and you see both Bush and his company and even these giant oil companies, and I mean giant companies, seemingly providing some sort of cover or playing some sort of role in major covert operations, including the destabilization of other governments. That, by the way, is one of the key themes of Family of Secrets, is how little we really know about American history. What I discovered, and I'm afraid we won't have time because I know your segment is short, what I discovered was that things that I thought I knew about major traumas. I'm talking about the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, what happened to Jimmy Carter vis-a-vis Iran and his own presidency, and on and on and on, that we didn't have the real story, that there was another story, a deeper, more powerful story involving influential banking and corporate interests and their grip, really, you might say, on the American democracy.
Yeah, and when you were just mentioning the JFK assassination, I was reading through excerpts of your book, and I also had a chance to read through countless reviews. I have not had a chance to read it yet. However, as I came across the JFK assassination stuff that you're talking about, and you mentioned that Bush Sr. was actually in Dallas at that time and was caught with multiple identifications.
Not exactly. What I've got there in Family of Secrets, you see, once I realized that he'd had this secret life and that his companies were intelligence cover, I thought, well, I've got to look at everything about him. And so when I came across his assertion, he'd been interviewed, and somebody had asked him very casually, where, you know, do you remember where you were the day Kennedy was shot, which is a common question, you know, to ask somebody who's been in politics. And strangely enough, he claimed not to have remembered. And, of course, that struck me as so strange. Digging into that and trying to just reconstruct where he was at the time, I was astonished at what I found. And just in a nutshell, I've got four chapters in Family of Secrets of all new material concerning the Kennedy assassination. I have to say, I was never an assassination buff. I didn't really follow it particularly closely. I know there's a lot of controversy over it. I know that many people feel that Oswald acted alone and others feel that he didn't. I had no particular position on it. But as I began following Bush Sr.'s path and discovering his links to all kinds of interesting things, including one that you just mentioned involving identification, there are two declassified documents that have come to light regarding Bush and the period around the Kennedy assassination. In one, he is identified in an FBI briefing with other intelligence agencies as Mr. George Bush of the CIA. It's a briefing the day after Kennedy was shot, and it refers to the assassination and to Cuban exiles. The other document has Mr. George H.W. Bush. It even provides his home address. And in this one, it is the day of the assassination, right as Kennedy's death is being announced. He is in a town near Dallas, and he's calling the FBI.
Are you there, Russ?
Yeah, I was hearing something coming from you. In any case, he was making this call, and he was saying, I'm a private citizen. I would like to report information on a possible suspect in the assassination. Well, of course, that's deeply interesting, because how could you forget where you were when you were somebody calling and claiming you had some crucial information for investigators? As it turns out, that whole story around that phone call takes up a full chapter in Family of Secrets. It reads, I am told by people, like a Robert Ludlum novel, but it's all true. It's the strangest thing. And it suggests something very, very devious going on there. A third thing, which I'll just touch on briefly, is that there was a man in Lee Harvey Oswald's life, a Russian emigre with intelligence connections, who played a key role as a kind of a mentor to Oswald for a big part of the last year of his life, prior to the assassination. That man, it turns out, was an old friend of George H.W. Bush. And so I go into that and much, much more.
And also, when you're talking about the Watergate, could you talk a little bit about that, how Bush Sr. may have possibly been involved with that too?
Well, sure. And again, I have to say, this was entirely new to me. It's the sort of thing that just sounds crazy until you look at the facts. And that is, again, why every page of Family of Secrets has names and dates and documents and supporting information. Basically, what happened was, once I knew that Bush had been this covert operative all these years and that he had played a role in things affecting presidents, I was interested in what his role was vis-a-vis Nixon. And, of course, Nixon promoted him to higher positions that helped him get onto the ladder to the presidency himself. But I wondered, you know, was he involved in Watergate and how was he involved? Well, the more I looked at his activities and the more I looked at Watergate, I began to see that the whole story of that, of the fall of an American president, was also not the way I had understood it to be. The more I looked at it, the more I could see that Richard Nixon, rather than being the villain the way that he is painted, that he was a much more complex figure, much more nuanced, and that, in fact, Nixon, much like John F. Kennedy, as we were increasingly seeing, was once he became got into the White House, he ended up trying to assert his independence from powerful interests that had influenced his own course, had begun pursuing a foreign policy in terms of negotiations with America's enemies that did not sit well with the Pentagon, with military contractors, with the intelligence elite, and so forth, and that Nixon himself began following a similar course to Kennedy. And now, understandably, he was not assassinated, but what we see and what I believe I document in several chapters of all new information in Family of Secrets is that Richard Nixon appears to have been brought down not by his own acts, but by acts that were set up and then blamed on him. In other words, that he was framed. And we see the outlines again of this intelligence group with Bush lingering there very, very much in the background in shaping these events, including the burglary itself, which appears to have been deliberately bungled and deliberately leaked to Bob Woodward at the Washington Post.
And also, I wanted to quickly touch on GW. There was actually, you did a couple chapters on GW, and it talked about this affair that he had with a Danish beauty. And also, you talked about there was a part where this girl that he was involved with, he knocked up, she had an abortion. Later on in office, he opposed abortion and cuts funding to organizations that provide information about birth control.
There's a lot of hypocrisy running throughout this, and really a lot of cynicism, a lot of willingness to basically manipulate and use the values that devout Americans who supported him held deeply, not only the things to which you referred, but also, as I say, his military service record. His family was staunchly for the war in Vietnam, yet they didn't want their son to go. And then even when he had a safe flying position, he didn't do that. As far as his hypocrisy on abortion, that's true. A third element was his own purported religious beliefs. As you may know, he won over a large majority of regular church-going Christians in America in the 2000 election, the 2004 election. One of his main selling points was that he purported to be a born-again Christian. As I point out in Family of Secrets, again, all new information, the family's own advisor on religious affairs was somebody who had been sending them memos prior to the conversion, telling them that you simply cannot win without winning over this bloc, and the only way you're going to do it is to basically embrace these values. And he also needed to do that, by the way, because he needed a tabula rasa. He needed a clean slate to cover up both the kind of things that he had done that would not stand very well with this conservative crowd, his personal behavior, but also the fact that he had just accomplished so little prior to being elected governor of Texas.
And also, I remember running across something that said that the Bush family was actually looking at wanted to go to war with Iraq all the way back to the late 90s, like 1999.
That's one of the other hundreds of revelations in Family of Secrets. I interviewed a man who was working with George W. Bush in 1999, and I'll just touch on it briefly here. Again, there's a whole story behind every one of these. I hope your listeners will get a chance to check it out. But in any case, briefly, this man I interviewed had been working with Bush on a book that was to come out during the first presidential campaign. And one of the things they did was they discussed what he had done in his past that would, you know, would make him a qualified presidential campaign a candidate. According to this man in the exclusive interview I conducted with him, Bush had trouble thinking of anything that really recommended him and didn't want that in the book. Then when the ghostwriter turned to what Bush hoped to accomplish in office, Bush said, talk to Carl. He referred him to Carl Rove, the man who was creating his image. When the writer pressed him to come up with some things in his own words, the main thing that he communicated to him, obviously in a moment of indiscretion, was that one thing he hoped to do was that if he were elected president, he hoped that unlike his father, if he had an opportunity to invade Iraq, he would take it, and that unlike his father, he would not stop. He would go all the way in, and he would remove Saddam Hussein. That is, of course, an enormous revelation because it contrasts with what we know, what we have been told about the reasons for the invasion of Iraq altogether.
And I just wanted to quickly quote one of the reviews that I read. This one just stood out in my mind, and I thought I'd share it with the listeners' audience this time. And this is a quote from one of the reviews of your novel, or excuse me, your book. It's called A State Within a State, run by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Wall Street, and big business. People given the illusion of being able to elect the government, but in reality they are only puppet figures that are manipulated to carry out the bankster and the gangster's agenda that is against the people.
I don't recall seeing that one, but I don't think it's that far off the mark.
Yeah, what I did was I pulled that. It's hidden. It's on Amazon, and it was down a bit, but it really stood out in my mind because it just hits home with what's going on at this time, especially with the Obama administration. Rather than him, you know, he's talked about change, but the only change he did was he offered the people within the Bush administration jobs in his administration, and he didn't do any change. He's just basically made the illusion that, oh, I'm going to pull the troops out of Iraq in August, the combat troops, but I'm still going to keep the support troops there. And at the same time, I was going to close, the jail down in Cuba.
Guantanamo,
excuse me. But at the same time, he didn't close it. So he hasn't really followed any of the agendas. And if you look at the health care reform, hidden within it, there's other bills that are piggybacked on the back of this bill. And you're looking at it, you're going, this isn't really reform. This is basically you're forcing people to get health care. And if you don't get it, what happens? The IRS will just garnish your wages and we'll take the money anyway.
Well, that's right, Reg. What Family of Secrets really is about is not the past. It's about the present and the future. It's about this larger construct. Ultimately, the Bushes are not just about the Bushes, and what we don't know about them can hurt us, because this is about these larger constructs of power that continue to exist. They continue to coerce presidents. Whether or not Barack Obama wants to institute reforms, he faces grave difficulties in doing that. In fact, I wrote an article called What Obama is Up Against. Your listeners can find it on our website, whowhatwhy.com, which is our ongoing nonprofit investigative reporting site where we're trying to generate regular reporting of the same quality that is in Family of Secrets so we can continue to monitor developments. But as you say, this is about a larger problem, a larger issue. I think many of us really just don't understand how power works and how the presidency itself is severely constrained by forces without and within.
And also, in your novel, you talked briefly about the Bush family's ties over with the Saudis, the Bin Laden family, and other things of that nature.
That's right. Within Family of Secrets, again, not a novel of nonfiction investigative history, I do go into extensively the Bush family's relationship with the Saudis. Again, that's a topic other people have written about, but I focused on material that has never before come out. This is about personal relationships engineered by George H.W. Bush through a family friend and surrogate, and deals that were cut basically with the Saudi royal family to essentially protect them, help them stay in power in their own country, and obviously that's no democracy, and in return to route the petrodollars in ways that were beneficial to certain interests in the United States. And you see this whole loop being set up.
And also, you were down in New York on September 11th, I read somewhere, right?
That's correct. I was right down there at Ground Zero.
And what did you see at Ground Zero happening at that time?
Well, I mean, I got down there. The buildings had just collapsed when I arrived. I didn't know that because there was so much chaos and this tremendous sort of mushroom cloud and people staggering and so forth. But I happened to be standing. I was reporting at that point for the Los Angeles Times, and I was standing talking on my cell phone to my editor, standing within view of World Trade Center 7, rather, a building that had not been hit by either of the planes. And I was standing in front of it literally when that building simply pancaked. And, of course, it was the most astonishing sight. I described it to the editor, who was flabbergasted, and said, well, how could that be? How could a building that was not hit come down? And that's been a mystery to me to the present moment. And I don't think that any of the explanations have been adequate. I don't have a position on it, but I certainly think that would be one of many, many stories I would like for whowhatwhy.com to look into as we're able to raise enough money from the public to really hire up a staff and get into all of these subjects.
And we only have a couple minutes left, Russ, before we have to go on to the next guest. Could you quickly share with the listening audience what your other websites are so that way they can go check it out, and also
sure.
some contact information just in case someone wants to email you something?
Okay, so three websites. For the book, familyofsecrets.com. Family of Secrets being the name of the book. That's available on Amazon. I know Amazon US. If you're in Canada, you may be able to get on Amazon Canada, BarnesandNoble.com, and in some bookstores. whowhatwhy.com is our nonprofit investigative reporting site, publicly supported. We urge people, if you believe in what we do, to get involved and please make monthly contributions. You can do that via the site. The third one is just my personal site, russbaker.com. Has not been updated, but it gives some indication of some of the work that I've done over the last couple of decades.
Well, you've done tremendous work there, Russ, and thank you so much for coming on to our show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Reg.
It's Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO with Mundy Brown Bagger. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our next guest.
Hey.
Hey.
What do you say?
What do you say?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Welcome back to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. This is Mundy Brown Bagger. My name is Reginald Angus Arkew. We're going to continue on with our next guest, who is an outspoken advocate. He's been on Fox News talking out against, he's saying Obama isn't change. He's also going to be a speaker at an upcoming Liberty Festival 2010 held at the Feel Good Foundation Social Bar at Times Square on September 11th, 2010 in New York. And I'd like to introduce Dewan Shears.
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dewan. The first thing I wanted to ask you, I was looking through your Facebook, and there was one basically you showed on there. It showed GW wipes his hand off on Clinton's shirt after shaking the hands with a Haitian, after Bush shakes a hand with a Haitian. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I didn't... There was actually when I first heard of that on the news, actually, and first thing I thought of when I saw that was his true colors come out. I mean, and these guys do things. First of all, let me say thank you, Reginald, for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, but you know these guys. When I say these guys, these globalists and these particular bloodlines, the Illuminati bloodlines, you know, some of these guys are just so bold, you know, it's, and that for him to wipe his, and it was blatant that he did it. Now, I'm a germaphobe to a degree, so, you know, I can somewhat understand shaking someone's hand who might be sweaty or feels moist or whatever, and it may give me the heaves, okay, at some point, but I wouldn't wipe it on someone's shirt, especially not in public. I would be too concerned about the public perception of such an act, okay? And he's supposed to be able to lift morale, to lift spirits, you know, these people after what they've just gone through, and for him to do that in public. So either he has no filter, which I believe Bush really doesn't have a filter, you know, or he just doesn't give a damn, you know, so take your pick.
We just had Russ Baker on as a guest prior to you, and he's talking about his book that he just wrote, published in 2009. And what he talked about the Bush dynasty, and he talked about Bush Sr. and actually GW at the same time. And many things that he's talking about were things that, you know, even myself, I was unaware of a lot of things that, that Bush did in regards to what's written within his book. It just blew me away. And, you know, as you're talking about that, my mind keeps on going back to what Russ was saying. And also at the same time, I'm going back to basically things written on your Facebook. And as you're saying, you know, you're saying that Obama can't help us. At the same time, you're saying that, you know, there's not really any change happening because it's the illusion of the right and the left, when actual fact is there are people behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And I'm a guy who just woke up maybe a year and 7 months ago, and I just woke up to 9/11. I truly believe there's a 9/11 was an inside job. I do believe the 9/11 was a ritual, a cultist ritual ceremony put on by this ruling class. I truly believe it has several objectives to it. It's Homeland Security being one, the Patriot Act being one, but it's all part of the world government, New World Order agenda. But yes, I do believe that there is a ruling class. There is a shadow government. I do believe that if there's any truth to parallel universes, those of us who are awake, we are living it, okay? So the people who aren't awake, it's just one universe. Then everybody's one big happy family, you know, who has little hissy spikes every now and then, and the politicians, you know, it's nothing big. Those people who are living with those delusions of grandeur or just illusions, they don't see what we see. But those of us who are awake, we're like, wow, there are just two universes. It appears to be two universes out here. And truth is often stranded in fiction.
Yeah, but also, yes, if you take a look at Katrina, right after Katrina hit New Orleans and Louisiana, and you take a look at the fact that there was an awful lot of people that were stranded in their houses, and they're trying to go over this bridge that leads out of New Orleans, and the National Guard and the police are turning them back with rifles and shooting, you know, at them. At the same time, these are Americans. And because of the, you know, some people look at it, you know, a high percentage of these individuals were black. So you're looking at it, it's a form of, I looked at it, I was down in Las Vegas at that time when Katrina hit, and I looked at it as a form of a modern day form of racism, and it shouldn't have happened because these were Americans. They were born in the United States, they were Americans, and they should have been protected by the American government.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, there is a large percentage of us who, truthers and who are people who are awake, who haven't dismissed the idea that Katrina was caused, the hurricane in Katrina, just like the earthquake in Haiti, due to the technology HAARP, HAARP. Now, when Katrina happened, I was still asleep at that time, you know, figuratively speaking. So I wasn't aware of HAARP at that time. But now that I'm awake and I've been studying the Nikola, for those who don't know, Nikola Tesla invented the technology that HAARP is it's an acronym. I forget what it is. I can never remember what it is, but it's HAARP for the listeners who aren't familiar with HAARP.
Yeah, it's out of Alaska. We have a regular host on Monday Brown Bagger, one of the team members, Alfred Weber. He does tremendous research into that. As you mentioned, Tesla invented many different forms of free energy, and if we ever put his technology into place, you know, we would no longer require the use of fossil fuels. We would no longer require the use of wind and everything else. But what's happening is all of his technology, all of his inventions have been suppressed.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the agenda is not to... I haven't really studied all of Tesla's inventions, so I can't speak to that in great detail. But what I do know about this, the elite, the ruling class, it's not their agenda. Actually, I forget his name. The guy who... the Venus Project. The Venus Project. That guy. He says that in Zeitgeist Addendum. In Zeitgeist Addendum. He's interviewed, and he talks about how they have the technology to prevent cars from having accidents if they chose to, You know, they have, you know, have the technology to send a train from the East Coast to New York to California for an extended lunch if they chose to. There's so many things they could do if they chose to. So, but they don't choose to.
They also have the technology to run, engines off of water. So what we could do is all this polluted water, we can take the pollution out of it and then basically use the recycled water to run these engines. Yet what happens is this technology has been around for many years. We also had the technology, I had a past guest on who talked about in 1942, Ford came out with a vehicle that was made totally of hemp. And ran off of hemp and everything. So this is back in the 40s they had this technology. And the list goes on. I mean, even we can use hemp within buildings, in cement. And there's so many different uses we're not doing because of the fact is that we've been brainwashed to think a certain way. And, you know, also with your health care, I was talking to Russ briefly about this. And I remember you also talked about it on your Facebook. You know, one thing I learned about the United States, so I was in the United States for almost 5 years because I was exiled out of Canada. I really got some people angry. It was a novel that I wrote. And what happened was I ended up down in Las Vegas, Nevada. But I learned an awful lot about the political system down there is that they'll pass this bill and everyone will look at it going, well, if you're against this bill, well, then you're going to be against the children or you'll be against protecting the people. But what they don't realize hidden behind the bill are piggyback bills. So with that said, do you know of any laws that have been piggybacked on the back of the health care reform? I've heard one, the possibility is the IRS may force people, garnish people's wages who don't pay for the health care that they're supposed to pay for?
Right, yeah. I'm not too knowledgeable of that. I have not read that bill. My knowledge of that bill is comes from I'm just listening to the array of pundits who have, you know, who claim to have read it, and the politicians who claim to have read it. And from what I did read from the previous bills, when the previous bills were that you would be fined. Now they've amended it since the first, because the first bill stated that if you did not get the health care, that you would be fined, and if you didn't pay your fines, you would be jailed. Okay, so there was such an uproar about that. But they went back and they revised the bill, so now they're saying that that's not the case. I have no faith in this bill simply because Obama has been lying from the day that I woke up, which was November 24th, 08, when he hired his economic team. I had been doing research prior to that, but that was actually the day that woke me up when he hired his economic team. So from that point on, I've been tracking his lies. He's told so many lies since then. I don't feel the need to really investigate the bill, to be honest with you, to know that it's full of a bunch of crap. Yeah, there's some good policies there, but what we do know is that many of those good policies won't even kick in for another 5, 6, 7, 10 years, you know, down the road, depending on the policy. But the taxation starts immediately.
Yeah, they're talking about, I read somewhere where they're talking about they're going to tax people that make over $1 million, and then eventually it'll be people that make over $250,000. Then they're going to tax all the businesses that have employees, and if they don't provide health care for their employees, then they're going to tax them. So the small mom-and-pop operations that have one or two employees that can't afford health care for their employees, they're going to start taxing them, too, if they don't provide it.
Right. And see, like I said, with the bill, I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have no desire to read the 2,000-page bill. I mean, if I get a copy of it, I may read excerpts of it, but I'm not even gonna lie. So I'm gonna commit to try to read that whole bill. What I would do with that bill is what the more rest of us are just gonna have to do. Just wait and see. You know, I hope, you know, a part of me doesn't want to be on the end of "I told you so," you know, to American citizens. But a part of me does want to be on the end of "I told you so," you know, because many of his supporters are just so sheeple. They're just so asleep. But I will say that I have something I wanted to speak. Oh, well, my thought got away from me. Something I wanted to say about that bill. It'll come back to me.
And also with the people that, you know, Goldman and Sachs is a name that's basically thrown out there that's involved with Obama, Citibank, many other banks. So all these different banks that have been receiving these bailouts, you know, they're now reporting massive profits, but you're not hearing anything about them returning the money back to the American people.
Well, we've heard that they, according to them, we've heard that the majority of them have paid back the money, according to the media. Okay, now, like, I take that with a grain of salt as well, but it has been reported that the majority, I can't remember who hasn't. Maybe is it AIG? Because actually, the government owns like 80% of AIG, but I think it's AIG who hasn't paid back.
AIG is basically it's a covert operation. Like, the CIA operates within AIG over in I had a past guest that came on. He talked about this, and he said that over in Asia, the CIA will actually use AIG as a cover and has for many years, and that's why they'll never allow AIG to collapse, is because of the fact that you'll trace it right back to the government. And at the same time, Nancy Pelosi's husband, when I had Cindy Sheehan on, she was talking about how Nancy Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's husbands are actually, they own a large part of AIG at the same time.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't shock me, though. There's not much that goes on that really shocks me. I wish I could renew that point I wanted to speak on in the health care bill. It'll come to me.
Do you notice in the United States at this time, within the Obama administration compared to the Bush administration, it's almost like there's the emperor is, they may have changed the face of the emperor, but they've actually, the exact same people are still in power. And all Bush's, all Obama's doing is just standing there going, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to change all this stuff. But in actual fact, it's still the exact same thing. You know, massive soldiers are dying over in illegal wars, massive, hundreds of billions of dollars are being extorted from the people, trillions of dollar deficit, and you're looking at New Orleans and you're looking at elsewhere in the United States that the economies are collapsing, and there's no focus at all on the American people. There's more focus on what's going on outside in the world, outside of the United States, and not within the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. It's business as usual. But the difference is this time around, Reginald, is American citizens are waking up slowly but surely. We are now, unfortunately, the problem is many of the people who are waking up, many of them are still caught up in the left-right paradigm. Look at, take the Tea Party, for example. Okay, and even with the, now there's a coffee party here. I don't know if you're all aware of that, but there's supposedly an Asian woman on Facebook started venting, and she created the coffee party for Alex Jones. Alex Jones claims that one of his, I wasn't listening that day. I listened to Alex Jones a lot, but I wasn't listening that day. But he claims that one of his callers called in suggesting the coffee party. So he says that she stole the concept from him. But nevertheless, in any event, however it happened, the Tea Party's making a lot of noise. The coffee party, they're still brewing, no pun intended, but they're still brewing and growing. They have quite a few members, but you don't hear about them as much in the news. But unfortunately, that's the difference between what's going on now with Obama's administration and the Bush administration. We still had a lot of people who were asleep during the Bush administration, but people seem to be waking up. Now, my fear is this. What's going to happen at the polls, though, many of those people who are still drinking the left-right paradigm Kool-Aid, they're going to go out and vote for a Republican. They're going to go out and vote the Republicans back in. And the same crap's going to happen with a different twist. Okay? Then, maybe after that, people may start to say, oh my goodness, this is really, the same. I mean, they don't really need for that to happen, though. We have enough evidence with the past administration, the Bush administration. We have enough evidence, but I guarantee you there are going to be quite a few people who are still going to go out and vote for Republicans thinking that's going to, end the problem. And it's not, man. It's the fact that these people are in the same, that they're controlled by the same ruling elite on issues that matter to that global, to quote, I think it was Tarpley who said it, issues that matter to the elite, they act as one.
Okay. When you said Kool-Aid, the first thing I thought of was Jonestown, and when he killed, yeah, when all of his followers were basically, they committed mass suicide and they drank the Kool-Aid, and that's what I feel like when you're saying Kool-Aid. I feel like the sheeple are drinking this poisonous Kool-Aid, doesn't matter right or left, they're drinking it, and they're going to they're committing mass suicide of the country.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, though. Michael Tesserion, you heard of him, right? Michael Tesserion. He has a new, what is his new, I forget his new well, just Google this. No, I don't want to say Google. Just search, run a search on Michael Tesserion's newest movie, and he mentions Jonestown, and he's not so convinced that that incident in history occurred the way they said it did. You know, because he said there were actually a there's eyewitnesses that there was a military, I forget what country. They're over in Ghana, I think.
Yeah, I think it was basically, personally, I think it was a CIA operation, and I think that Mr. Jones was taken out because of the fact was he caused a little bit of trouble. And if the official version was, is that there were some people from the Congress went over there to investigate. These people, they took some of his followers back the plane. They were assassinated the plane. The official version had it. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Jones and his followers committed, you know, drank all this Kool-Aid and committed suicide. And, you know, I seriously question that right off the bat because I've read so many different stories about what the CIA has done in the past, causing the revolution within Iran, the Iran-Contra affair, and the countless other stories. So it just sounds like, you know, someone didn't want what Mr. Jones was saying to get out. Next thing you know, the whole thing, he's basically eliminated.
Right. So we have to basically question everything that's happened, practically everything in history. I mean, it gets draining. You know, I have people tell me, "Well, why do you question everything? You're such a pessimist. You're such a skeptic." I say, "Okay, all right." I mean, I have some common sense, a lot of common sense. So I don't think everything is a conspiracy. But do I question almost everything practically? Yeah, I do. You know, I've been conditioned to do that. And it's coming from a healthy place, based on our government and our history. You know, so you know, I don't regret. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, I don't use the word conspiracy. I use the word based. To me, it's that, you know, I don't like using that word conspiracy. I like using the word, you know, we're searching for the truth, and at the same time, we're sick and tired of all this bullshit that we've been force fed, crap, whatever you want to call it. We've been force fed because even with, you know, you take a look at World War II, what happened was there was prior warnings given before Pearl Harbor was attacked. Yet what happened was there was nothing done to stop it. And at the same time, there's also other incidents where they've had prior warnings, even that led up to 9/11. There's governments are warning the United States what's going to happen. Nothing was done. And even with Vietnam, and the list goes on and on and on. So what we're doing is we're trying to just expose what the real truth is. And the prior guest I just had on that did the book called The Family of Secrets, I mean, that is a massive move forward to show us what the Bush family is capable of and how a lot of our history that we're taught is actually nothing more than illusion just to dumb us down and, you know, keep us happy. Here's a beer. Here's a hockey game. You know, all you sheeple, just fall asleep right now and don't wake up and don't basically try to fight for the people.
I agree. I remember what I wanted to say earlier about the health care bill. It's I'm not convinced. I have a dismissed the fact rather that it's not a tracking tool for the New World Order agenda. You know, because many people aren't filling out the census. You know, we have this is a year of census for us, and many people aren't filling it out. So they're gonna start sending out people to knock on doors for the census. But if you think, if you have a nation of people on under government mandated health care, then you have everybody. You know, pretty much. I mean, there may be a few stragglers here and there. So you have everybody now on this medical grid, if you will, and you have their. Now, if you want to perform some type of eugenics programs, you have all the, you know, everyone's information. So, I mean, I'm still of the belief that the underlying objective for that is tracking, you know, for this new world, this world government agenda. You know, I mean, I'm all for healthcare for everyone, but when they started mandating that everyone get this particular healthcare, now that's something that's supposed to have changed. Now they say, no, well, if you like your doctor, you can stay with your doctor. Or whatever. And if you notice, I don't know if you all know that, but the stock, you know, check NASDAQ, the stocks for the insurance companies went up right after the bill was signed.
And even some of the CEOs have received, 23% hike raises, some 40. But with that said, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to quickly say that up here in Canada, we're supposed to have universal health care, yet we're seeing the constant erosion of that happening at this time. We have to pay for dental, we have to pay for glasses, we have to pay for a prescription. You know, list goes on and on, and we're watching our government cut. And so what's happening is, so we're watching our universal health care disappear while universal health care is both be going into effect in the United States. With that said, Duan, I was wondering if you could quickly share a couple words and a possible website that people might be able to see that you have up, or even an email address so people can email you something and ask you a couple more questions.
They can reach me on Facebook under Duan Shears Sr. So just go to Facebook, and it's D-E-J-U-A-N, Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S, Senior, on Facebook. And if they have any problems, route them through you, because I don't know what's going on with my Facebook account. Some people say they can't reach me, and I've been having trouble searching people, so until I get that resolved. But some people do get in, so if you can't reach me there, go through Reginald, and Reginald can route you to me.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass them on to you there, Duan. Thank you so much for coming on. It was very enlightening. And at the same time, I wish you the best of luck on your upcoming speech that you're going to have at the Liberty Festival over in New York at Times Square on September 18th. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO, Monday Brown Bagger. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're now going to go over to the next program. Mm-hmm.